If you go ahead and open your Bible or get your Bible app, or we open to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, I think this text is one of the most complete statements about marriage in the New Testament. And we're going to be looking at some verses from Ephesians 5 this morning, if you would get turned to it. Now realize this was written by Paul, I will point out, an intentional single man. And his letter was written to the church in Ephesus, and it had two major concerns. The first part of the concern was what Christians believe. And it was kind of a broad-based exposition. The second half is about putting those beliefs into our actions. That's my philosophy with the system we've had with Wednesday night Bible study and Sunday morning worship. I think Wednesday night Bible study has always been an opportunity to know God's Word, to get into the meat of the Word, to study the Word, to get to know what God has to say to us. But I believe Sunday morning is the application of God's Word into everyday life. How do we live this life? And so that's kind of the way that Paul had divided up Ephesians. Now, the text we're going to look at is really the second half, more of the practical section on how to live our faith. And it's not meant to be a comprehensive doctrinal statement, but it embraces a lot of the things that we live out as a Christian. Right before the passage we're going to look at marriage, Paul talks about how we should be wise rather than unwise. And he talks about submitting to God's will, living the truth in our relationships, and he begins with verse 20. And he starts right off with the crux of the matter. Let's follow along. Giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the key. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, the body, and is himself Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to everything to their husbands. That's been a very controversial verse in marriages for a very long time, but I believe it's been controversial because it's misunderstood. Let me continue. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Nowhere does it say, wives, you have to die for your husband, okay? Let's be real clear. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. He's spoken quite a bit about that. Therefore, a man shall leave his mother and father and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. That's really key. However, let us each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. From our today's perspective and culture, I can easily see how these words appear backwards or unfair. Realize from the text, in this first century Jewish Greco-Roman world, what Paul has just said is nothing short of revolutionary. Paul was talking about a respectful, mutual love in the way that is still revolutionary in a lot of parts of the world today. Bible commentary William Barclay helps to show us what we're talking about here. He says, under Jewish law, a woman was a thing, a possession of her husband, just as much as her house or his flocks or his material goods were. She had no legal right whatsoever. In Greek society, a respectable woman lived in a life of entire seclusion. She never appeared on the streets alone, not even to go marketing. She lived in the women's apartments, did not join her menfolk even for meals, and there were demanded a complete servitude and chastity. But her husband could go out as much as he chose and enter as many relationships outside of marriage as he liked and incurred no stigma. Now you hear that, you think, that kind of blows your mind. But that was the culture at the time. Now I'm going to make a point here. This is not really in the sermon, so don't freak out up there. But I do I do notice a similarity. The way that Muslim women are treated today is very similar to this. Are you noticing that? Can't own property, can't go out on their own, can't have to have a male relative with them, on and on and on and on. A lot of that still is going on in that culture. You know what the difference is between that culture and what we're talking about? Jesus Christ. When he came, he brought freedom, not just freedom from sin, but freedom from the laws and the bindings of the Old Testament, and gave us freedom in Christ. Now, he didn't just say, oh, go do what you want. He said, we have a new set of roles for the women and for the men to have. Now, this passage truly turns the worldview upside down. It calls for both husbands and wives to honor, respect, and love one another. This passage is not about who gets to be the boss. It's about two people putting the other person in front of the other. I don't know how many times I have said that over 40 plus years in preparing couples for marriage, that if your goal is to please her and put her first, and your goal is to please him and put him first, it's a mutual respect, and your goals are the same, to lift up one another. When that gets out of all twisted, and when that gets to be a problem, is when one takes role over the other and there's an imbalance in the relationship. Paul states categorically, we submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. One another, not just one. What Paul was doing here was talking about two areas of our lives where submission and love are the key, the home relationship and the church. Now, I think the love part seems pretty straightforward. You love somebody, you want to serve them, you want to love them. I mean, we get to that right away. But when we talk about this area of submission, our modern 21st ears perk up. And we get cautious when we hear about this idea of submission. But let me say this first. Recognize submission is not being subservient. It does not mean inequality. When we speak about biblical submission, it's not speaking about a spiritual or a physical superiority. What it's talking about is a respect of roles. Throughout this letter in Ephesians, we're taught Jesus made every believer a part of his body. And we've talked before about how, you know, the toe doesn't say to the head that I'm more important. The hand doesn't say to the heart, I'm more important. The body is a whole. We are all part of the body of Christ. Each of us are a part. The word submission here that we're using is a Greek word. It's called hupotasso. Hupotasso. Say that with me. Hupotasso. Now you speak Greek. Okay. It comes from the meaning of a military a leader, like a command officer. It's mean to subordinate, to subject oneself, to submit to one's control. One author remarked it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, and assuming responsibility and carrying a burden. But unlike military understanding, where there's a pecking order, there's a specific chain of command. All of you vets know chain of command. It's not meant to be like that, because the first part of this reads about how do we submit to one another. I can't emphasize enough that this would have been shocking to Paul's readers to hear that we are to submit to one another, because that's totally contrary to the culture they were living in. You know, we're used to this idea of submission, and it was very much a part of their life. The rich and the poor, the elite, the subservient, the master, the slave, the man, the woman, the citizen, the non-citizen, and much more. They understood the word submit. I don't know that we necessarily do today, because it's got so many bad connotations, but they understood submit. But all of a sudden, Paul starts talking about the church and the home. And we're to submit to one another. And this doesn't happen naturally. Instead, it takes effort and discipline. You see, they submit to one another not because they have a higher rank. Let me say it again. We don't submit to another because they have a higher rank. But instead, we look at their gifts and their role. The church might be an easy way to understand it, especially if we're safe in comparing this as Paul did. In the church, we understand there are different roles, and it would be chaos if we all had the same role. Now, you all are stuck with me being your preacher for a few more weeks. But fortunately, you're going to have Daniel coming, and I'm excited about Daniel coming too. And he's preparing, he's selling his house, he's got a house here he's planning on moving to, and he's making all the plans, talking about packing up a truck, which I do not envy him a bit. But for right now, you're stuck with me. Imagine what it would be like Sunday morning if everybody was the preacher. Everybody decided to get up and start preaching. Well, that would be chaos. It'd be chaos. You see, there's a designated role. I'm the preacher on Sunday, but we have other roles. What if we all decided we were all going to do hospitality? So we go out and all eat donuts and bring in more food and eat, and pretty soon we got a party, and, well, that wouldn't work at all. What if we had a role that we were all going to lead worship? All of us would be up on the stage looking at empty seats, but we're all going to lead. Everybody starts at their own time, stops at their own time. Well, that would be chaos. You can see there are roles within the church. It isn't about authority. It's about roles that we have in the church. That just wouldn't work. It wouldn't work because we all have different roles, different gifts. We have unique skills, abilities, interests. These shape out our role and how we function in the body. And we have to learn to submit to one another. When I go out and see John out there doing hospitality, I don't go out there and say, "Yeah, John, I wonder if you'd maybe make some hot tea or hot chocolate for me today." He'd say, "No, you have coffee. That's what you have. You have coffee." Because the other's what you have. And we suddenly throw the roles in the air, and we change everything. Suddenly there's confusion and there's chaos again. Despite what some of you think, I have to do this all the time. Often people think that because I'm the preacher, whatever I want to happen, happens. That is so far from the truth. There was a time when we first started with a handful of people that everybody was like, "What do we do?" And I would literally tell everybody, you know, "You do this, and you do this, and you do this," and we would kind of function along. But as we've grown, people have grown in maturity, people have grown in the faith, people have grown in the church, people assume some roles and start doing those things. I mean, I'm used to the idea of coming in here Sunday morning, and as I walk in, I look to my left and I see Ann, or I see Jake, or somebody's over in the kitchen cleaning, preparing for communion. I don't even have to guess. Somebody's going to be over there doing that. When I walk in, I know Lisa's going to have the band and the vocalists up here, and they're going to be practicing. I go in, there's going to be food ready. There's going to be a coffee percolating. There's going to be people at the desk. Nancy's going to make sure all those places are filled. And so we get into these roles that we're used to, and we're areas where we can serve one another. Ann doesn't get back and say, "You know, I made the communion, so I'm the only one that gets to take it." Or "I think I'm going to change the recipe for the bread." And we're all going to cry if she does, because it tastes so good. It is the best communion bread I've ever had in my life. See, but I submit. I submit personally to the elders. I don't always have to agree with everything the elders say. Not that there's any conflict anyway. Don't get any. I'm just saying that I'm not in charge. I submit to the elders. I ask the elders what they would like to do with this or with that or with this or with that. Because all of us submit some area. That's how Tammy Chapman does such a great job decorating for Christmas and all these special events. You would not want me decorating, okay? Like polka dots and stripes or something. You know, you wouldn't want me decorating. That's not my thing. Lisa Vaughn puts together this great meal. You know, I'd have food on the table and say, "Y'all come get it." And it'd be a mess, because that's not my gift. It's her gift. We could go on. Ryan Lehman does the camera up there. If I was running the camera, we'd have pictures of the wall. Maybe a star or two, and probably everybody's head, like right here. Because, see, that's not my gift. That's not what I'm trained with. That's not what I've worked toward preparing for to serve in kingdom work. You know, and you don't want me picking up an instrument. I mean, the only thing I can play is a radio. At the same time, I have a unique responsibility and role in the church for my position, and it never changes. And I would do you a disservice if I didn't do my responsibility of preparing to preach because I was out cutting the grass or I was out doing this or this. This past week, we put up a banner out there, and Bob and Mason came over and helped, gave me a hand and helped me put up the sign. It's like, that was great, but that wasn't my day. I had other things to do. You see, I'd be disservice to the Lord if I skipped my responsibilities. I think the church is a perfect example to understand marriage and the relationship and how it's supposed to work. The same kind of dynamic that works in marriage is still the dynamic that works in the church. I'm not saying that man is the senior minister and everybody else is submit. That's not what I'm saying. Marriage relationship, a healthy one, each partner should have an area that they lead and take steps to lead others. Again, it's those same factors, skills, abilities, interests, what's important in the home. We read Ephesians 5 that we all have roles and need to remember to submit to them. Linda worked for the city of Ocala for 27 years in the accounts payable section of the finance department. It wasn't unheard of for her to write out a check for $1 million for the city. I'm from West Virginia. I don't know how many zeros that is. But she could do that because that's her job. She did it for 27 years professionally, being accounts payable and paying things and keeping track of it. Who do you think does the finances for the Wright family? Not this brown duck. You see, I don't enjoy that. It's like torture for me. She loves it. She's back there just whistling along, having a great time, because that's her skill. That's her ability. She does it, and she does a really good job. At the same time, there are things in our home Linda didn't even know how to turn on. I mean, the lawn tractor, she couldn't turn it on if her life saved on. Depending on it. There are tools and instruments and things that have in the house that Linda has no idea how to work or how to keep track or how to change a filter of this or that. She has no idea. She's got to hire a pool boy when I'm gone. I don't have a pool, but she's probably going to hire a pool boy to be able to do all this stuff. So you see, what I'm saying is we each have different roles, and that's okay in a marriage because you each are functioning in your role, and that's okay. When Paul says, wives, submit to your own husbands, realizing it's that same word, hupotasso. It's about submitting to one another. And at the same time, and consistently in the Bible, there's a sense that men and women have unique roles in the home. It's not like a superiority thing, but all the parts of the body work together. Paul's talking about unique roles. Now, you'd have to be a fool or an academic, which are one and the same sometime, to think that men and women are the same. I'm just astounded when I watch TV and I see somebody question a academic or a college professor and ask, what is a woman? And they can't answer it. But somebody's paying $10,000 for that teacher to teach their child biology. You see, the roles in the Bible are very, very clear. Remember I said Paul was teaching the second half of the book of Ephesians about, much like the book of Proverbs where you read wisdom, it's about how things are normally done. There has to be a default. Roles change. I cook in our house. I love to cook. My wife can cook, but she doesn't cook by choice. She cleans. That's been working really well for us. And I was just in somebody else's home recently, and they said they do the same thing exactly. The husband cooks, wife, she cleans. I could clean. I wouldn't do it nearly good enough for Linda, but I could clean. She'd have to go over it again. And she could cook, but I think we would enjoy my food better. The point is, we each have roles, and sometimes those roles can be switched around. It's the idea of mutual respect, mutual submission. For a wife to submit to her husband doesn't mean she is his slave. She has to respect the role that God has given her. God holds men responsible for spiritual health of the family. That's where we get the idea of the head of the household. A biblical submissive wife is not second rate or unequal to a man if she just serves in a different role. And notice this. It uses the word submit. It does not use the word obey. Obey is restricted in the scripture to children. Some of your light went on just now. I can just see it in your faces. There's no place in the Bible where it says wives are to obey. You're supposed to submit. That's different. That's a choice of the will. So what happens in the Christian home whenever it becomes a mirror of the relationship of the church? The wife is submissive in the way the church is submissive to Christ. Recognize there's a spiritual authority that a man has and Christ has over the church. We gather together for the Lord's Supper. This is not Jake's supper, not Todd's supper, not Robert's supper, not Bridget's supper. This is the Lord's Supper. We respect that it's not for us, it is for Him. That's how we are subservient in the kingdom. It's about serving God in the roles in which He has placed us. There are many ways to understand this idea in our lives, balancing, submitting to one another, but one of the keys is being authentic. You're not just filling a role like playing a part in a movie. You're doing something you're uncomfortable with and doing something you can't live with. You need to be authentic. When you are married, you love someone so much, you want to elevate them. You want to serve them. You want to do for them. And when that's done in tandem, there is mutual submission, mutual respect. This wasn't meant to be a message on the totality of marriage, but I wanted to specifically talk about this issue because it has become such an issue in so many circles that misunderstand this word, even Christians that misunderstand this word. And I hope as a result of today, maybe we have a better idea. Cherish your spouse. Your spouse is a gift from God. Love your spouse. Let's pray together. Father, those of us who are privileged enough to be married, Father, recognize that we are blessed, that we've been given a precious gift in our spouse. But there are many people in this world who are lonely and who are seeking attention. They're seeking companionship, and we have been blessed that we found our one. We found our person, and we share a common bond of love, respect, and roles. I pray for the marriages that are here and represented today. I pray for those who are looking for a marriage at some point in their life that they understand these roles as they begin that understanding of going toward an idea of a marriage. Help us as we continue to serve within the church in the roles in which you've called us, of which we've prepared, of which you've led us. Father, all that we do, all that we say, we want to honor you. That is especially true in our marriage. Let people look at our marriages and see the way you love the church and care for the church. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.